star of
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Stand By Your Band. I'm Tom Takar, the Wolf of Dog Street, joined, as always, by the Prince of Snarkness himself, Tommy McNamara. How are you, Tommy?
Tom, I'm doing well. I had a very cartoonish series of unfortunate events yesterday in my apartment.
Lemony Snicket's ass.
Lemony Count Olaf was there. And listen to that. So first, there was a mouse in our apartment.
Oh, no.
I think a rat.
Aren't you guys like on a high floor?
Third floor.
That's
yeah,
wild. Crazy.
But I think a rat in an apartment is like disgusting and terrifying. And a mouse is just kind of like, oh, what the hell? you know? So there's a mouse in the apartment. So we put out these sticky traps.
Sure.
And then a couple hours later, I'm cooking. And boy, in my socks, do I step on one of the sticky traps.
Oh,
Get stuck to my sock. So I'm like trying to tear it off for like a full minute. I can't do it.
Yeah.
My roommate comes over to try and help me take it off. And then I finally rip it off and it just rips my sock like in half. And I'm just like, God damn it. Finish cooking. And then I'm done, and then go to the bathroom, flush the toilet, and then our sink in the kitchen starts overflowing like crazy to the point where we have to like run pots and pans of water from the sink into the tub, and I've still got one sock on. I'm just like, what the hell is going on
in my life? you're like that guy from the phone games where like like if you don't save this guy by doing a puzzle, like the pipe will drown him somehow. Now I want to ask these sticky traps. These homemade? I know you sick little. The craziest part of this story, not to put you on blast here, is you cooking.
I know, yeah. And I've learned my lesson.
Never again.
Never again.
Me and Tommy lived together for a beautiful 4 years. I don't recall one time that
turned
on the old stove. Did we have a microwave in that apartment? We must have.
We did,
right?
Yeah. That, I was eating Chinese food like four times a week at that point. Yep. Yeah.
I would hear a ring at the door, and it was Tommy's Chinese food.
Those were the days.
No one to see me. I just had a cooking mishap. And by the way, our guest today is Brittany Carney.
Hello.
And no. hi, Brittany.
How's it going? I'll go back under the couch.
We did make her stay. We don't like people to look at us while we're doing the banter.
It's just so, nervous.
We're so nervous. So get under the couch like a cat. I cooked right before you got here. And by cooked, I mean I heated up one of those Amy's burritos, which I'm going to say right now, the instructions on the everything else that Amy does, I'm a fan of.
Yes.
I like her work. She makes a good soup. Mm-hmm. She makes a great lentil soup. She makes a lot of good stuff. The burrito is where Amy fails, at least in terms of instruction on cooking. I've never made one of her burritos that is not on fire when it comes out of the oven. It's truly burnt. And I don't know how to add the burnt pieces into my calorie counter app. I feel like they don't count the same as the regular food, but I am eating them. And I'm sure that that's bad for you for some reason, but hell, I like burnt shit. I'm fine with it. But it was truly like smoking when it came out of the oven. I took it out 10 minutes earlier than Amy thought. Maybe Amy's British and she is giving me some sort of kilometer, like metric system time. But 55 minutes in the oven is far too long.
There's only one British Amy I care about. Ms. Winehouse. Rest in peace.
R.I.P. R.I.P. All right, Brittany, how's your day going?
Oh, it's going fine. Thank you so much for having me.
Our guest has been housing some wine.
Let's go.
Woo! Okay, I have a few things to comment, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
One is, I got to say, I'm going to go backwards. So, Tom, I would say that I differ from you in your opinion about Amy's food. I would say her burritos are my favorite in her repertoire.
See, I'm not saying that they're bad food.
But
I'm saying the instructions are impossible. Unless you have a microwave like a billionaire.
No,
I'm working with just an oven.
That's good because you're going to like not get cancer as quickly as everybody else, I think.
I think you should have seen these burnt pieces I was eating. Yeah,
carcinogens. Also, I guess it does feel like if a piece of food is burnt, that it doesn't have any caloric content because energy, like, it's already been zapped by energy. Like, the energy in it is taken away. So it's, like, negative space.
Yeah.
So that's my thoughts about that.
If I ate a bunch of ashes, what is that? Oh, that's not food.
No, it's fiber. In fact, it, like, puts everything into motion. Or I don't know. That doesn't really... Well, anyway. So, and then Tommy... Wait, the rat...
There's a mouse.
Sorry, a mouse, not a rat. A mouse took your sock off of your foot?
No, the trap did.
That really speaks to my, like,
that would
listening
also
comprehension
be,
skills.
That would be like a different cartoon. That's Tom and Jerry.
I was cooking the mouse.
Right.
Tommy finally felt like a hunter. He's like, we have to eat it.
I'm like, okay, Stuart Little 2 fodder, unless there's already a sequel, but... Now that makes more sense. I was really like, my mind went to a really cartoonish place, but I just misunderstood.
He was in a Home Alone situation that he created for himself. I also want to comment, this weather today is insane. I played tennis before this.
It's balmy.
It's 2 days ago I like couldn't go outside because there's a school across the street. And no, I'm just kidding. I did it to myself this time. No, but it was so cold, and then now it's basically fucking summer again.
Yeah, it's like really, it's disconcerting. I feel like 2 nights ago it was the kind of weather where like, it's like everything kind of hurts, like your skin, your cheeks, and like even in the train, the cold infiltrated through fabric. In every pore, and I like rushed home instead of hanging out with a friend. And then today it's like, oh yeah, like the future where our planet is in question, you know, because it's just warm enough.
But isn't here's the thing, isn't that kind of sick sometimes? Every once in a while global warming is cool because you can play tennis. All right, let's talk our subject today. Our dear friend Brittany texted me and had an idea for the podcast, and I want to find the text because and she also okay, there's a lot here. So the subject today is songs from the Civil War,
which a lot of people have pitched. Every guest has tried to do this at some point. We say no, we're holding out for the rest. Everyone wants to talk about it.
Yeah, I could feel that in the hours between my texts and your response. They're like, oh, finally. This is the right one.
So Brittany messaged me, okay, fully understand if it's a negative, but would you consider me on Stand By Your Band for Civil War music, and you just sent a song that I refused to listen to at the time and said this stuff, and I just said, absolutely yes. Yeah, you're in. And then that's the way you get booked on this show. Make it easy for me. Just send me the text. Sure. And then when we're scrambling for a guest, we'll go, wait a second, somebody already asked.
Thank you so much for clarifying to the masses that it was my idea and no one else in the room.
Yes, I had to do that.
So much I deserve
I
that.
I did. I was going to wait till later to bring it up, but I posted, for some reason, I posted on the Facebook about this, and we have gotten responses somehow. But I wrote, we're talking about songs from the Civil War with Brittany Carney today, if somehow you've got thoughts. And Brittany did comment on it. Did you include my name because you want everyone to know it's a black guest? And the truth is, I posted because some people will see that I'm posting this and they don't know what the podcast is. And they'll go like, I'll be like, we're talking about Britney Spears today, and they're like, "What the fuck? You hate Britney Spears?" And I'm like, "I never said that. I'm just saying what we're doing." And I didn't want people to think like Tom must love the Civil War. I just wanted them to know it wasn't my idea. But it would be weird, I guess, if it was just a fully white dude. Like, hey, I want to talk about the best music I've ever heard. Let's hear about the day Dixie died.
What's funny is I forgot about like when I asked for permission to pitch this idea, I forgot about that element of your podcast. By the way, I love it. It's like I love a little hook that everybody can kind of get into. The Facebook post, and then I saw it and I was like, oh, I really want everyone to know that it's okay because I'm black. You know, it's not like I don't have a grandfather that was a Confederate to my knowledge, or grandfather. What year is it?
Now, Tommy's family did fight for the Confederacy a couple days ago. And,
I think the ultimate question when it comes to the Civil War is Union, Confederacy, who you got?
Dude, I lost so much money on FanDuel. I bet on one of those reenactments, and I am out of house and home.
Bet on the number of words in the Gettysburg Address.
In my grad program, I had a friend who, and I also worked with him at a job relevant to this topic, and he does Confederate reenactment, and like everyone, or like people, would be like, oh, why do you pick Confederate?
Yeah.
Reenactment. And he's like a white guy from Maryland. And his argument was that, so like, because ultimately as the war progressed, the Confederate side had like less and like had like shittier resources. Like they were like starving and didn't have as much money for their uniforms.
Uh-huh.
They wore like more random stuff, like more ragtag materials.
Sure, so it's easier to get.
Well,
the
he thinks it's more
that.
Interesting, and that was his argument.
Interesting. As you were saying that, I was like, oh yeah, because you could just wear anything. And it's like, no, you can't wear like a Washington Wizards jersey. Like, you still have to wear shit that they wore.
But it's basically, I think you can just wear like a gray towel.
Right.
Right. And then, So anyway, but he's right. Yeah. So the South will rise again. And,
in conclusion.
And you, of course, I know that came to mind because Tommy is wearing a gray towel and that's it today. It's weird because it's my apartment, but he showed up. No jacket, just a gray towel. that is interesting, but also it is weird because it's like, if you're going to do those reenactments, and obviously we must have those, what would we do without them? If you're going to have those, somebody has to be the Confederacy. But, you know, I would think it would be like, let's draw straws and I lost. And that's how I...
It's funny to think that there are definitely Confederate reenactors who are like really bummed about COVID taking this away from them.
Oh, yeah. Like, I think that's like 60% of the country. Oh, my God.
My happy place is...
Wow. By the way, speaking of little critters...
This
Tom's,
is Pepe.
Tom's child just jumped into my lap.
Yes, that is Pepe. Right. That
hi,
is
Pepe.
One of my cats. That's the one that is more friendly.
Oh, hi.
Reggie has no interest in other people normally, but
what are Pepe's pronouns?
Pepe is he okay. They he, meow.
Pussy. Oh my God. Whoa. Well, I'm really vibing. Okay, anyway, I'm really vibing
yeah,
with
that. Yeah, he's really enjoying himself.
Hi, Pepe.
Pepe, ease up, brother. chill out.
This is only ooh. Kind of related, but when you were talking about Civil War songs, when you pitched it, I always think of the band singing The Night
yes.
the Durable Dixie Down.
Yeah.
You said Dixie. And it just reminded me of the greatest Twitter reply of all time, in my opinion, which I don't know if you guys are familiar with this, but... this guy, Alex Sulkin, who's a Family Guy
yes,
writer.
The Sulk. Oh.
The Sulk, yeah. So he had tweeted...
One of the first big Twitter accounts.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
The account is called the Sulk?
Yes, the Sulk. And he had tweeted, want to listen to the band, in quotes, ? And then in quotes, no, I just want to sit down an accordion while watching a Civil War documentary, which was the joke, it's a good joke.
Yeah.
And then Robbie Robertson from the band
yes.
saw this and replied... Wish I could have written for the Cleveland show instead. One of the great Twitter.
Incredible.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Incredible.
Yeah.
That's really funny. And it's like, Alex Sulkin is very funny. That is just a great,
yes.
Can't go great burn.
Your
and
cat...
also the band does rule.
Yeah. Last well.
Wait, the band, I'm sorry. The band is called?
The Band. Yes.
You know what? I have
no knowledge
frame
of, them?
Of reference.
Yeah, you would know. I think you would know some songs from the band.
If I heard it?
Yeah.
The band is called The Band?
They are called The Band. Yeah.
Who do they think they are?
Well, this is... They dibsed it.
Yeah. Like shotgun in a car.
They were playing as Bob Dylan's backing band when they decided to take that name because everyone just kept calling them The Band. And they were like,
oh,
we'll just be The Band. Yeah.
Really? Oh, mm-hmm. Wow. Interesting.
Yeah, yeah. The great concert film documentary that Scorsese did about them called The Last Waltz. That's one of my favorite things.
Where are they like from? Like, where are they based?
There, a few of them are from Canada, mm-hmm. which is why it was always people are like, why are they obsessed with the American Civil War? It makes it even weirder, but they were. So that is kind of their thing.
That is weird.
But why are you obsessed with the American Civil War, Brittany?
Hold on. Hold on. I want to really quickly before we do that, and we will do that immediately after, but I think, just so you know, there you definitely know songs from the band. I'll play one for you now.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I think it's like not. I know this.
Mrs. Burns.
To me, that's the band. In my eyes, that's the only band you need to know.
That took me 2 hours to register. I was like, oh, I. For how earnestly Tommy was talking about this group, I really had bad vibes from this.
For sure, they do exist, and they do exist.
By the way, Pepe is completely in my lap.
Yeah, Pepe is all in on Brittany Carney.
Turns out I am a witch.
Okay. Pepe's loving it. He tries to do this to Tommy. Tommy shuns him. He puts out a vibe. Pepe knows that he's not welcome. All right. So yes. What is your obsession
what drew you to
with
this
war?
I'll tell you what.
More with the music aspect.
I'll tell you what, boys. Okay. My background is like related to I went to graduate school for early American history and the particular like chronological block of what I was studying like ended with the Civil War because I took US 1 and then so like most of my courses and then also like relevant outside work was like related to the Civil War. My real shit is the colonial period, but I worked at an Abraham Lincoln Museum for like 5 years in Washington, D.C.
Was he really that honest?
No. Who is? You know. Yeah. By the way, I would say at that museum, the first question, the number one question, there's like 3 questions that everyone, like the visitors asked a lot or like guests, it would be like, where's the bathroom? like, was he gay? And then it's like, was he so honest? And I worked, to answer any of those questions, jury's still out. But I don't think he was. Okay.
No, they still haven't found the bathroom.
Yeah. They peed on the tour bus, you know, mm-hmm, back to Christie, Corpus, Texas. Okay. So I worked at this museum for a long time, or what felt like a long time in my formative 20s. And I think my takeaway from it, too, is that I got really, like, super disillusioned with, like, the Lincoln narrative and myth, and most of that relates to just like being like a kind of a difficult job and not moving forward in it, you know, right? Mm-hmm. As like a little shit. And so then in like a humanities field that's like low rewards, you know. And so, but then I really felt like, so I just randomly as an adult person now have such a close tie to the Civil War and ideas about it. Mm-hmm. For someone that I don't think I really thought about it much until after college. I don't think I really thought about what the Civil War means for us Americans, like culturally or politically, until I was like fully 24 and onward. And so then other jobs that I had in DC and in New York that were like in history museums also have like stuff that's basically I've just like worked for maybe like a decade in things that are related to the Civil War.
Sure.
So I don't even know if it's the sexiest war to me. For me, it is not. But I just have like
I mean, those guys in gray towels.
I know. Tommy looks fantastic. He's got the Stonewall Jackson hat.
They called it Gettysburg back when I was there. He can get.
Yep.
Oh yeah. Antietam, anti-L Edom asses.
Yes.
Antietam L Edom Manassas. Okay. Anyway. Oh no, thank you. Okay. So anyway, yes. So that's my relationship with the Civil War. Oh, and musically speaking. don't know. I've just heard a lot of it.
Did they play it at the museum all the time?
No.
Okay.
This museum is like, how do I explain? It's like kind of like a, it's like a small, it's basically, it's where Lincoln stayed in during the summers of his presidency, and like allegedly like where he wrote the original drafts of the Emancipation Proclamation.
Oh, wow.
But the whole narrative with this museum is like, he was a man that had a lot of big ideas. Mm-hmm. And we're going to talk about how they relate to us and our world today. But then I worked at other more straightforward museums that would like play those songs.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's probably where you first heard them.
Yes.
I would guess.
Yeah. And I think I first heard them at an earlier job in Philly that was like, oh, hello. Oh my God.
Pepe, Jesus.
Oh, I'm getting so much pussy, but just from one one. Okay. So, before I moved to DC, I worked at a museum in Philly that was like about the Constitution, and that's where I heard initially a lot of Civil War music and watched the Ken Burns documentary, where Ken Burns also came to speak to us about it.
Oh, yeah. That's
did he
exciting.
Take 11 hours?
Yeah, we all had sleeping bags. Like,
hell yeah! All right, well, I think that's a good setup into what we're about to get into.
Pepe is going crazy for the listeners.
It's like around their time to eat.
It might be a Confederate cat.
It could be.
Trying to stop the podcast.
Actually, my cat, like when I like 9 years ago, when my roommate got my cat's sister little kitten, she's all gray, so we called her Dixie, and that's still her name today, which is maybe historically problematic. But, anyway,
all right. Well, so you sent somehow the most songs we've ever received. So let's try to filter these down a bit, But what would you like to hear first?
Oh,
you had the idea Rebel. Of like hearing.
I was like
three Rebel songs and three.
I do, unless you don't vibe.
I love
that. I was like, this is kind of like a. It's like when you you're about to get married. It's like if you like, they give you a bunch of cake flavors and you get to try them.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Sure. That was the idea earlier. Anyway, the one that's like, I'll say the one that is the one that's like, I'm a rebel or something.
I'm a goddamn rebel.
I'm a goddamn rebel.
I wasn't going to
use
rebel.
The expletive in this.
Sorry, I'm a damn good rebel.
Don't do that.
I am a good old rebel. Now that's just what
I'm doing it.
I'm a Yankee nation. I do not give a damn. I'm glad I fought again. I only wish we'd won. I ain't asked any pardon for anything I've done. I hate the Yankee nation and everything they do. I hate the Declaration of Independence, too. I hate the glorious Union, 'tis dripping with our blood. I hate the striped banner, I fit it all I could. I rode with Robert E. Lee for 3 years thereabout. Got wounded in four places and I starved at Point Lookout. I caught the rheumatism, a camping in the snow, but I killed a chance of Yankees, and I'd like to kill some more.
Okay.
Jesus Christ.
This is the sorry, not sorry of the Confederacy.
It's wild to hear that. I hate the Yankees. Hey,
by the way, not so long ago. Just in the backyard of our memory.
It'd be funny if they played that at Mets games.
So what I really love about, or what really strikes me about that song, first of all, I honestly, dare I say, an a cappella wise, like it's like a bop, okay? I'm serious. Second, it's really specific.
Mm-hmm.
He really goes into details. He's like, no, I'm just not like vaguely kind of like, I'm not vaguely. It's not like, you know, when people are like, you know how there's like a whole block of Americans. If it's like, if you ask them what was the Civil War about, they were like, oh, states' rights.
States' rights.
Like this is like, and then there's people who are like, well, it was, then they take it a step further. They're like, well, it was about protecting American liberty, and like this song, there's like nothing vague about it. It's so crazy. He's like, he talks about rheumatism. He gets like really visceral. or he who not this is the, yeah, this is the Spotify recording of whoever first sang it in 1863 or whatever. But so I think the lyrics of the song are really crazy to me because it's like really details. It's like, and I guess, you know, also what the song makes me think about is like if there was a movie, like you can like imagine the scene that this song played.
Mm-hmm.
Sex scene.
Yep.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, it's Owen Wilson.
Gotta, wow. You gotta sheds get Owen tear. Wilson in there.
Wow.
I'm in the Civil War. I'm gonna come. Oh.
Confederate Sergeant Drillbit Taylor.
His gray shirt is like kind of unbuttoned to his navel, you know.
Well, that'd be a good movie. Owen Wilson's on one side, Luke Wilson's on the other side. Brothers fighting brothers.
Yeah, but you know that's true. Luke Wilson is a Union
he's
brother.
The North, yes. Yep.
He's our guy.
Yeah.
He's the North. Because he has brown hair.
He's an Idiocracy. He's a good guy. That's true. That's it. Sorry, Gosling. You're on the other side. All right, let's hear another song, please. Shall we go to the North, or do you want to play three in a row from the South and then,
hey,
and then switch it
it's
up?
It's not my podcast. I'll leave it up to you.
Well, it's today, my, okay, today it's your podcast.
I think you let's switch it guest. Up.
Okay, so which song would you like to hear from the other side?
These let's go with the classic. Here. How about that? How about let's go with... Okay.
Sorry. Are any of these?
They're all Confederates. Like I just.
Oh,
this
shit.
Is where I come out as.
These are the only ones I like.
Come out as.
Separate the art from the artist.
Yeah. Okay. 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 Let's drop. When Johnny Cummies.
When Johnny Cummies marching home. All right, here's When Johnny Comes Marching Home. People know this.
You just feel the Civil War when you hear that.
Oh, yeah.
You know what? My experience is a little bit different.
Elaborate.
I'd prefer you didn't.
By the way, Pepe was so focused through that song.
Yeah, he was liking that. He's so pissed I've not fed him yet. It's, you still got 4 minutes anyway, man. All right, see, he's going to his food bowl. Sometimes he'll do that. He'll go over there. He's like, hey, what's over here? You guys want to check it out? It's fucking weird over here. You should come by. Oh, shit, you're already over here. You know what else happens to be here? My can of food. Oh, shit.
Yeah, that's like when someone's like, wait, should I Venmo you? Or yeah, my cat just kind of screams at me. Okay, so I think that my first relationship to like the rhythm of that is like Ants Go Marching, Barney, early 90s. Right, mm-hmm. right. So I would say like that's at the foundation for me, and then when I realized that it was tied to,
yeah, I didn't know this until today that it was tied to the
Civil War. Yeah. I
thought of it as like a Bugs Bunny type song or some shit. I thought Tommy was listening to that in his apartment when he's having this mouse issue.
A Bugs Bunny type shit.
Yeah, I just feel like I've heard it in like cartoons or like in kid shows when they're like gonna do something. It's like a.
Did you say kink shows?
Yeah, the mm-hmm. kink shows that I watch.
That's why Johnny's coming.
He's cummies. No, like in kid shows, like when like the Rugrats or something.
Yeah.
I think it wasn't a Rugrats episode.
Yeah. I just think that song captured the hearts. I mean, that is like, in terms of like the composition, I guess it's like, well, you can't argue against that.
Mm-mm.
Every American recognizes it, even if they don't know what's called or where it's from.
Yeah.
And maybe like me, you'll associate it with the ants come marching, ants go marching home.
Sure.
Which is a really sweet sort of, like reinterpretation of that. But anyway, so yeah,
Speaks for itself. Yeah, that one is just an all-time banger. Let's hear another song. Okay, what do you want to hear next? 1960s
for top 30 at most. Okay. Okay, let's go. Let's do Switcheroo. How about that?
Yeah, I love that.
Let's go with the Yellow Rose of Tejas.
Okay, so we're going to hear the Yellow Rose of Texas. Here we go.
There's a yellow rose in Texas that I am going to see. No other soldier knows her, no soldier, only me. She cried so when I left her, it like to broke my heart. And if I ever find her, we never more will part. She's the sweetest rose of color this soldier ever knew. Her eyes are bright as diamonds, they sparkle like the dew. You may talk about your dearest May, sing of Rosalie, but the yellow rose of Texas is the only one for me. Well, now I'm gone to find her, for my heart is full of war.
All right, so I found some song facts on that one.
Did you really?
Yeah. So this is charted at number one. It says in 1955.
What the hell?
It is the Elvis Presley version is in Viva Las Vegas in 1964.
Oh, I think it's how I first heard it.
During the American Civil War, the Confederate soldiers in the Texas Brigade adopted this as a marching song.
Really?
That's, yeah. Apparently.
Interesting that it's a marching song, because that's kind of like a little lullaby that you sing to your toddler.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Written by an anonymous songwriter known as J.K. Turf. Turf ass. The earliest known version of this American folk song was found in Edwin Pierce Christie's 1853 songbook, Christie's Plantation Melodies, number 2.
Now that's what I call Plantation.
Volume 2. Christie was a balladeer and was widely known for Christie's Minstrels, a blackface minstrel show that started out of New York City in 1847.
Fuck it up.
Tommy McNamara still puts on today. Sung from the perspective of an African-American narrator, the tune follows his quest to find his lost love, a biracial woman he calls the Yellow Rose of Texas. There you go.
Wait, that's crazy.
Yeah.
You know why I didn't know that it had like a, that there was sort of this like biracial element.
Mm-hmm.
And I think listening to that song, my personal fantasy about it, mm-hmm, is like, imagine, I was like, yo, she's fucking a black dude from like the 45th Massachusetts, which was like a colored troop. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, no, this woman's definitely, she doesn't care about you. She's like fucking a black guy. But dang. Here I wasn't, but by, okay. Well, that tracks.
Mm-hmm.
That tracks, mm-hmm, for this track.
This track tracks. All right. Shall we venture back?
Wait, do you have any thoughts on the song?
I thought it was just fucking ruled.
It was very nice. Yeah,
I
nice
did
melody.
Enjoy it.
It's, I like the harmony.
Yeah, it's more. Yeah. It was interesting. I liked it. I could hear Elvis singing that for sure.
Good.
Gene Autry performed this on his eponymous TV series. those are my thoughts.
Which was, of course, 8 simple rules for dating my teenage Autry.
Yep. yes. Yeah. It was very pleasant. All right. Shall we hear another song? What do you want to hear next? We're 3 songs in each.
Oh,
so we go. We're back to the north.
Okay. Sophie's Choice, Okay, Back to North. Let's do...
Oh, this is a song that has no title on it, but I don't know.
Yeah, why don't we go with that?
The one that has no title on it? Oh, yeah. Let's hear the wild card. This could go either way. So this is called The Irish 69.
Oh, right. I don't know this song at all, but I picked it because I like the title. And
oh, because of 69?
Yeah. Pretty sweet.
An Irish also, 69 where you pass out drunk on your partner upside down.
their uniforms were Kelly Green. there were a lot of like Irish and Scottish immigrants working and for the Union, maybe for the Southeast.
Yeah, this could go either way.
I guess the thing about this song is that you could just play it in like the airport in Dublin, everyone would be like, sure, this just feels Irish. So I don't even, it's kind of interesting that it's tied to like an Irish American experience, but I wouldn't know.
Wearing sons of hill and plain, come listen to my feeble strain. Perhaps you'll think it all a dream, though every line is true. I'll sing to you of our long campaign through summer, sun, and winter, the rain, to Richmond's gates and back again. I will relay to you. It was in August 61 that Colonel Owen took command and brought us into Maryland, then did it rain or shine. He drilled us every day, we rose to learn us how to thrust our foes, and often how they felt the blows of the gallant 69. In February 62, when passing in a grand review, we were told our foes we would pursue and Richmond overthrow. To Washington we went straightway and sailed in steamers down the bay until that we were stopped next day to land at Fort Monroe. At Hampton then we camped around until Red Little Mac came down and ordered us up to Yorktown, a street that you combine. And there we were both night and day, and drove the rebel hordes away. And walking through the town next day was the Irish 69. There you go.
I'm a sucker for an Irish
yeah. I was just thinking while we were playing that, I feel like Charlie would have loved this, loved this episode.
Wait, who's Charlie?
Our dear friend who was murdered. he claims he was murdered. anyway.
You know, in Ireland, they called him Robert Oley.
let's see here. Like much of the amazing historical song material I've been... So this is David Kincaid who put together... I think a lot of the songs that, he's the one who put this to get this album together.
Mm-hmm.
He says, I've been so fortunate to find and record the Irish 69th was discovered in an unlikely and roundabout way. While I was on tour in Germany in 1988, a friend who was employed in a Bremen music archive, aware of my deep interest in the Civil War period, handed me a cassette tape he had recorded from an album by an American folk singer named Frank Warner. It was an out-of-print collection of songs from the American Civil War, originally released in the 50s, and included such haunting songs as Virginia's Bloody Soil, sung in his commanding and emotional baritone voice. I'm trying to find where this gets into the Irish shit, because it is part of it.
He just glosses over.
The Irish 69th was one of the songs performed by the Warners, and Yankee John, 80 years old, it must be remembered, amazingly recalled 8 long verses full of colorful detail. The subject of the lyric is not the famed 69th New York. This is clear from its reference to Welsh-born Colonel Joshua Thomas Owen in the second verse, a commander of the predominantly Irish 69th Regiment Pennsylvania Volunteers, a true green flag regiment. The unit was recruited in the Philadelphia area in the summer of 1861, originally to become part of the Brigadier General Thomas F. Meagher's Irish Brigade.
Okay, so the thing about that song... is that it does, first of all, Irish 69th does sound like some category on Pornhub.
Yes.
Also, like, you know, it's like my last name. It's like, that's what I want to walk down the aisle to when I marry somebody else whose last name is Carney, you know?
Sure.
And I think that song, what it really immerses everybody in is like thinking about, listen, you come from on a boat from Ireland, and then it's like, hey, you're going to fight a war now at a low wage.
Yeah.
And for ideas that you don't even understand yet, brother, but
you're in.
You're in, and like
on both sides.
120 years later. Mm-hmm. No, not even. Let's say 60 years after this.
Yeah.
It's like there's going to be more Irish people coming on boats to this North American soil, mm-hmm. but you were the one that laid the foundation, and one can feel that through that that pulsating jam. Oh, we got another cat. Yep. Okay.
Yep. Reggie has entered the chat. It is now 8 minutes past their feeding time. And
do you want to take a break?
No, I don't. We're going to finish this episode, then I'll feed them, then we'll do the Patreon.
We're going to get PETA coming and dumping blood on our asses.
All right, let's hear two more songs. And
okay,
then,
okay.
Is I Can Whip the Scoundrel? Is that from the South?
Speaking of
pink shows.
Okay. So one of the songs that Brittany sent was called I Can Whip the Scoundrel. Here
50
it is.
Shades of Grey soundtrack. Yes.
Davis was a gentleman. Jeff Davis was no fool. Jeff Davis rode a dapple gray, and Abe Lincoln rode a mule.
So
or 20 if you choose, for I could take the hide off the Yankee that stole old Abner's shoes.
Lincoln got ethered.
Yes, I want to keep hearing this song. This is the best one so far.
Yankees took me prisoner. They used me rough, it's true. They took from me my knapsack and they stole my blankets too. So lay $10 down or 20 if you choose, for I can whoop the scoundrel that stole old Abner's shoes.
All right.
That song fucking goes.
Yeah, I first heard it in Twerk 101. So yeah. That song, first of all, I don't know who Lil Abner is, but must have some place in like Southern mythology. Like
Lil Abner is a pig, I believe, in like some cartoon or movie. Old Abner, yeah. I don't know.
Teenage. Abner, I don't know. Okay, so that song is a bop. I don't know if it's the best one in this, but I'll give it that to you.
I don't know. I mean, I'm just saying of what we've heard so far.
That's the one.
That's probably, that one felt like Johnny Cash. That one.
Sure.
It's kind of a universal feeling of when someone steals your boy's shoes.
Yes.
You want to whoop them, you know?
Yeah, you like it because it humanizes the Southern cause.
Right. Also, they fucking got Abe Lincoln's ass.
Right. Mule, damn.
What is this? I got to hear about this Jeff Davis, who apparently was a gentleman. He was no fool.
Jefferson Davis was the president
Jefferson
of the Confederacy.
Davis. I just read Jeff Davis. It felt like a guy I used to work with.
Yeah.
Jeff Davis.
I like how they made it so casual. Yeah.
And Abe Lincoln rode a mule. I'm gonna have that stuck in my head. all right.
Jay Duffy. Okay.
All right. Shall we hear
one more to pop off?
One more.
Okay.
Let's look through the list here and see what sounds.
Okay. So
yeah, I mean, you know these better than me. You also sent another one that you texted us. I think.
Yeah,
I don't know if that's
which. Wait.
There's just Dixie. There's
so here's the thing. Right. There's the. I would say Bonnie. No. Okay. Did we listen to Flight of Doodles?
I don't believe we did listen to Flight of Doodles.
Here's what I'm thinking. We could listen to that. Dixie is a classic, but also everyone's, you know, so like, you know, it's like, dun, like,
You know, we have it right here. We
can just
play it. We can play it for a second.
Well, let me just kind of...
Oh, yeah.
Stand on a couch and...
Southern men, the thunders mutter. Norther shun no labor. Lift up
right. Not a harpsichord.
Yeah, we know this.
Yeah, this is a classic.
Sure. So...
Okay, so now...
Now we know that. Yeah. So you think...
Okay.
So we have Flight of Doodles.
Let me focus for 2 seconds. Flight of Doodles. Can you screw it on just a little bit?
The Army of the Free. We have the Faded Coat of Blue.
All right, Rebel
Soldier. Have we listened to that? And then No More Auction Block for Me.
Which I think everyone kind of gets the point here.
And then
why don't we go? Why don't we
also sent us The Fall of Charleston?
Why don't we go a little bit chaotic and go with that?
Okay. All right, let me click on the Fall of Charleston here, and then we'll get to the Facebook. All right, here we go.
Oh, have you heard the glorious news? Is the cry from every mouth. Charleston is taken, and the rebels put to rout. And Beauregard, the chivalrous, he ran to save his bacon when he saw General Sherman's Yanks. And Charleston is taken with a whack, rowdy down. Boy is General Sherman, whack, rowdy doll. Invincible is he. The South Carolina chivalry, they once did loudly boast that the footsteps of a Union man should ne'er pollute their coast. They'd fight the Yankees 2-1, who only fought for booty. But when the mudsills came along, it was legs, do your duty. With the whack, rowdy-dow.
I heard Tommy only fights for booty. all right, so that song is from towards the end of the war. When the Union takes Charleston, South Carolina.
I think what's funny to me about that, and maybe the other options were like better in terms of composition, but what I appreciate about that song is that it does sound almost identical to just like the classic Confederate anthem, Dixie, which we just listened to. It just sounds musically the same.
I thought it was a Southern song at first when I started, and then I was like, no, indeed, it is not. I did like the with a whack rowdy dow. Hunky boy is General Sherman. That was fun. I liked that song.
Yeah, you can tell the war is over.
Yeah, they're like kind of tired of.
everyone's like, oh, you know. I'm tired of wearing a mask. Like, that's like the energy. Or like, you know, it's kind of like, okay, this whole like big thing that's like rocked our lives is winding down. President Lincoln's about to, he's really busy. He should. You know, he's been really busy putting policy into place. Like, he deserves a trip to the theater, you know.
Yes, it is finally his time to relax at the old theater.
And, so, all right. We got a little tick, we got a little tack
yes.
from both sides.
So, I want to, before we get to the Facebook, I want to talk about really quickly. So, I think that this... Your idea to talk about the Civil War was relevant because a lot of people think that right now we're heading into another Civil War. And there is, of course, music coming from both sides. We recently got a new rebel anthem, which I'll play a little bit of really quickly. I'm sure there's going to be an ad for this, but that is okay. All right, so... This is the new... We've recently got a rebel anthem, and I'll play a little bit of that, and then I'll play the new Yankee album.
Of what you're about to
Here's
play.
Here's the new rebel album, or the new rebel music for the Confederate side.
Wow, this is really great.
So this is the new Kid Rock.
I was gonna ask for Kid Rock. Woo! Yeah. Okay.
So that is the new, if there is to be a civil war, that will be the anthem for the Confederacy. Mm-hmm. And on the North, they also have an anthem. They also have an anthem that we will be excited to hear. And this is when the North is marching into battle, we're going to be hearing this.
Oh, by the band. Listen to Leave on drum on that.
All right, let's.
Doesn't the Maroon 5 sound like an old infantry you'd hear about?
That's right.
Exactly.
The Irish 69th, the Maroon 5th.
They're from Canada for some reason.
All right, let's go to the Facebook and get the hell out of here. Did we get anything on the Twitter?
We got two comments on the Twitter. Ooh, we got Alex Town said, hard not to love Robert E. Lee, his whole catalog, really? And Johnny Metz wrote Hard Times, Come Again No More, which is a song from the 1850s.
Okay.
That apparently Mavis Staples covered, which I will check out at some point because I love Mavis Staples.
There you go. All right. We actually did get a few. I didn't post this on the Patreon. I apologize, but I didn't think anyone would give a shit. So Pat Sievert wrote the Ken Burns soundtrack. Ashokan, Farewell, holds up. It'll make the hair on the back of your neck stand up.
Damn. Oh, I know it. Still standing.
Yep.
Like the Southern cause. I mean, anyway. The song, you'll recognize it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not going to play it right now, but I assume I would recognize it, and I agree. Michael Salasolia says, John Brown's Body is a great song. It shows up in kids' folk song books, which is odd but still cool. There's a concept record by the band Titus Andronicus, thematically based on the Civil
the
War.
Monitor.
We saw that. Yeah,
oh, interesting.
We went and saw that live not 3 months ago or something like that.
Yes, we did.
Which is a modern classic. The name of the album is The Monitor. Yeah, we know.
My
just
favorite
said
albums
that.
Ever.
Yeah. And a must listen if you're a fan of indie rock. It was fun. We talked about it on the Patreon, I believe.
It was very funny. We probably mentioned this, but so in that album, they play little Civil War snippets. They have kind of re-recorded by indie people.
Oh.
And people were in the crowd were talking along with like they have like Craig Finn reading an old Abraham Lincoln speech and everyone's like saying the words. It was very weird.
It was weird. It was, as someone who had never heard the album before that day, I was like, what the fuck is happening?
But it was a great show. Patrick Stickles is a great performer.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I just remember that in my life, in D.C., I dated this guy who was in a bluegrass band that did a Civil War songs concert in the place that was like a hospital where a Civil War nurse worked.
Oh, wow.
And I think also just describes most of my romantic experiences. Yeah. Whether or not it involved that concert.
All right. Mike O'Keefe says, Johnny, I Hardly Knew Ya is a bop. Brad Chester says, unfortunately, the bad guys had some bangers.
Which we did find out.
Yeah,
today.
The North did have some good songs. but nothing beats Marching Through Georgia, Old Crow Medicine Show version. All right. Mm. Dan Mendenhall says, I love Titus Andronicus. Tim McLaughlin says, oh, I've got a thought. This premise is insane.
Tim's have been very sassy.
Yeah,
lately.
Tim's been sassy.
He just had surgery. He's recovering.
Yep. Derek Humphrey says, wasn't this the sound and aesthetic the Avett brothers were going for? There was a genre of music that fit this.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's see here. Pete Stegemeyer says, I Had Me a Girl is fantastic for a really long time. I thought he was Jack White's brother. All right. Matt Alonzo Morning says, not a Guns N' Roses strongest song, but a decent single. Hey, there you go. Donnie Sengstack says, Maryland, My Maryland is a pro-slavery song, calls Lincoln a tyrant. Last line is, huzzah. She's Burned the Northern Scum, and it was the official state song until last year.
Oh, my God.
Now it's just the historic state song, and people are pissed.
Wait, I was going to send that to you, but it's really? Low tempo.
He says, also does not slap. Yeah, just a racist slap. Poem <That's> oversang over the tune, Oh Christmas Tree. That's great.
I miss Donnie.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, great,
great he put his whole pussy into that comment.
What the hell? That was that a reference or something?
I just thought it'd be funny to say.
All right, well, with that, we're kind of done here. Brittany, you got any final thoughts on the Civil War slash the music?
I just say, everyone, consider both sides.
Consider both sides. Those are your final yep.
of the music sheet, because there's yes. more to read yes. and play.
Yes. Nice dramatic pause that there. Great.
That's great. That will be the clip we share, but without the second part. All right. Thanks so much for coming on, Brittany. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We rate the playlist 7 out of 7.
For all the states that matter.
You have anything you want to promote while you're here?
Oh, no. No, not a stitch, but thank you for having me.
Hey, you're the best. Okay, I think at the time of this, when this comes out, I will be in Chicago, so come see me there. Yeah, I'll be there for a few days. I'm doing the Lincoln Lodge on, I believe, the 22nd. I'm doing Laugh Factory, I think, like all the other nights I'm there. And just check out my social media, Tom Takkar. You'll find me, and I hope to see you. I'm also going to be in Raleigh coming up, in Austin, in St. Louis very soon. In St. Louis in February, which is a great Civil War song. yeah, Tommy?
Me and Luke Moniz will be doing our Union Hall show January 28th at 10 p.m. Friday, January 28th, just announced. So
wait, that, yeah. that reminds me that I do have something to promote. Which is also I'm doing an hour at Union Hall on February 25th.
Yeah. Oh, that's exciting.
That's amazing. Yes.
All right.
Hell yeah. I'll
So get your Valentine's Day out of the way. You got 11 days to recover.
Yes. yes, go see Brittany. She's the best. And get on the Patreon, because she's going to be the guest on this week's Patreon also. So we got to get out of here. Keep it crispy. Bye.
Bye. Right. Thank you. I love you.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes. So doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.